This is the WHL This Week radio edition presented by the Western Hockey League, the WHL broadcast partners, and Bauer Hockey. Here's your host, John Keane.
And welcome to the show. Ahead, we'll take a look at two 16-year-olds with bright WHL futures. Ahead, leading point getter amongst his age group, Dylan Gunther of the Edmonton Oil Kings, and leading 16-year-old goal scorer, Logan Stankoven, coming off a 7-goal weekend with the Kamloops Blazers. As well, WHL Director of Officiating Kevin Minch will break down this year's group of officials and shed some light on referee development. First up, Edmonton Oil Kings rookie Dylan Gunther, the first overall selection back in the 2018 WHL Bantam Draft. He now leads all 16-year-olds with 51 points this season. Andrew Peard caught up with him.
Dylan, you're having a fantastic first year in the Western Hockey League. Just maybe what do you attribute the most recent offensive success to?
I think my line mates. I think they do a really good job helping me out, and we've built a lot of chemistry here over the past couple of months, so I have a lot of credit to give to them.
How is it that you and Riley Sawchuk and Jake Neighbor specifically have melded together? It seems sort of like three different players, but your games all seem to fit each other.
Yeah, I think we all have different styles of play, which I think helps us out. I mean, they do a good job helping me out, being the younger guy and kind of showing me the way, so a lot of credit to them.
And just curious, you're having one of the best 16-year-old seasons in the Western Hockey League that they've had in a while. Do you pay attention to some of the other good 16-year-olds in the league, Cole Sillinger, Logan Stankoven, those type of guys?
Yeah, I definitely keep in contact with them, too. I mean, they text me, and we joke about it, but I can't worry about them and the success that they're having and just focusing on my own game.
What was some of the biggest adjustments coming from midget hockey into the Western Hockey League?
I think just the speed and pace of the game. It's played at a higher level, and it's a lot faster, and the guys are a lot bigger, so I think that's a big change for me.
How important was it for you to not only get that experience last year, you know, you played 8 or 9 games, and then as well you were around the team during their postseason run. How much did that lead into some of your success this year?
Yeah, I think that just helped me get to know the guys a bit better, so I feel more comfortable around them when I first came into the season, and I think that really helped, just knowing them and kind of becoming friends with some of the players.
To start this year, you know, you're started off sort of on the fourth line. They didn't force you into too many minutes, you know, and then sort of eased you into the power play as well, and now you're, you know, top line guy playing the top power play units. How much did the way they approached the coaching staff take helping your development so far this year?
Yeah, it definitely made me earn what I had, and I don't think anything was given to me, but I had to work hard for it, work every practice, every game after practice to work my way up the team.
Finally, team's rolling as of late. You're first in the Eastern Conference, first in the Central Division. What's been going so right for the team as a whole lately?
I just think our compete, we work hard in practice to get better, and which translate to the games, and I think we just keep getting better every single day, and that helps us.
As always, appreciate your time, Dylan.
Thank you.
That is Edmonton Oil Kings rookie forward Dylan Gunther. John, back to you.
In Kamloops, rookie phenom goal scorer Logan Stankoven is looking to break a long-standing club record. He's up to 25 goals, including 7 this past weekend.
You know, it's probably been, there's a few factors that play into it, obviously. You know, my teammates and, they're making great plays out there and some nice passes. And, I was just kind of finding the back of the net. Also contributing to that was probably getting lots of pucks on net. If there are plays there, you make that pass to that play. But, if you have a lane to the net, you can take it to the net and shoot. So, it was a good weekend. And, hopefully the success can keep on going here.
Folks in Kamloops will have one of those "where were you" moments when Logan Stankoven scored 4 as a 16-year-old. Let's go back to Saturday night. That was a special time with friends and family, and it being the parents' weekend as well.
Yeah, for sure. It's pretty cool having my whole family there and lots of friends, and my uncle and my grandma from the island. It was pretty cool having them come up and have them in the building for that night. So everything was just kind of clicking, and it was kind of right place, right time. It just kind of worked out well, and it was pretty special to have 4 goals that night.
Logan, in a post-game interview, you said it's been a bit of a tough season, which kind of surprised me, because here you are with 25 goals. The team 16-year-old scoring record is 29 by Robbie Brown, who's also the franchise leader in points here. So when you talk about that, what makes it an up and down kind of a season, or at times a struggle sometimes?
Probably just trying to find that consistency in your game. You know, like everyone says, every 16-year-old, you know, it's tough coming in and adjusting to, you know, the style of play. It's faster, bigger. The guys are bigger. You know, it's more physical. So obviously you have to adapt to that. And, you know, that's probably the main thing, just consistency and, you know, keeping that confidence level, you know, not too high or too low. But, yeah, it's probably the main thing.
The 2003 draft class that you're part of here, which the Blazers selected you fifth overall, that's a pretty good group. And you look back at some of these players and what they're doing. Dylan Gunther over in the Eastern Conference with Edmonton. Cole Sillinger's had a good season. He's been injured lately, but getting back to health here. So how often do you guys kind of look and see what's going on with that group, that age group, as you kind of see how everyone else is doing with their progress?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, you don't want to, you know, look at the stats too much, but obviously, you know, every once in a while, you know, it's, you obviously got to look at, you know, a few of the guys and what they're doing over in the Eastern Conference, or, you know, guys that I've played against in the past. You know, they're great players. They're fun to watch. You know, it's always competitive playing against them. So, you know, it's cool to see what they're doing over in the other conference or, you know, in their games. But, yeah, you know, you just kind of have to focus on your own game and go from there.
Right, you were the BC Major Midget scoring champion last year. In fact, you set a new goal record in that league here. So I mentioned the Robbie Brown record with the Kamloops Blazers as they host their big Alumni Memorial Cup anniversary weekend here. 29 is that mark. You're at 25. It all something to shoot for here the rest of the way.
Yeah, I mean, I don't try to, you know, pay too much attention to, you know, breaking records. You know, if it happens, it happens. But, you know, I have to focus on the team game right now. And, you know, with team success comes individual success. So that's probably one of the, you know, the things to focus on right now is, you know, keep the winning streak going into, you know, playoffs here and, you know, going in strong to in the first round there. So.
All right, Logan, you're coming off a 7-goal weekend here to help the Blazers win all three. Continued success here as you guys hit the stretch run, okay?
Yeah, sounds good. Thanks, John.
You're listening to the WHL This Week, Radio Edition.
The inaugural WHL U.S. Challenge Cup is now underway at the Access Showwear Center and Kent Valley Ice Center in Kent, Washington. Now, admission to the event is free. There's also a free live stream of the games. You can access that at WHL.ca. The WHL U.S. Challenge Cup will feature 12 of the top-ranked Bantam teams from the Western United States and British Columbia. Those teams include Dallas Stars Elite 05s, Delta Hockey Academy, the Greater Vancouver Canadiens, the LA Junior Kings, Okanagan Rockets, Phoenix Junior Coyotes, the San Diego Saints, the San Jose Junior Sharks, the Seattle Junior 14U Admirals, Team Alaska 14U, the West Van Warriors, and Yale Academy based out of Vancouver. Now, the American-born players taking part in the inaugural WHL U.S. Challenge Cup will then be eligible for the 2020 WHL U.S. Prospects Draft set for Wednesday, March 25th. More online, WHL.ca.
This is the WHL This Week, presented by Bauer Hockey.
Western Hockey League alumni dominate Canada West men's hockey all-star and all-rookie teams announced this week. Of the 18 players honored ahead of this weekend's semifinals, 16 are graduates of the WHL. The conference's first all-star team was exclusively WHL grads, including goaltender Taryn Cozen of the Saskatchewan Huskies and regular season scoring champion Matt Alfaro of the Calgary Dinos. First team all-stars also included defenseman Adam Henry and Clayton Kirichenko, forwards Grayson Polinchuk and Riley Lindgren. Second all-star team at forwards Coda Gordon, Cole Sanford, Colin Shirley, defenseman Gordy Ballhorn, and Jesse Lees. And the all-rookie team with five WHL grads, Jared Dimitru of the University of Saskatchewan, Caden Elder of Calgary, Noah Philp, University of Alberta, defenseman Dawson Davidson at University of Alberta, and goaltender Broden Salmon with the Calgary Dinos. Congratulations to all the award winners. WHL Director of Officiating Kevin Minch says the WHL is a development league for players, coaches, and referees. He was recently upstairs to chat with voice of the Saskatoon Blades, Les Lazarick.
It's a pleasure to have alongside the Director of Officiating for the Western Hockey League, Kevin Minch, who's here. We see him around the league, all over the place. How much time do you get to spend at home in the course of a hockey season?
Oh, Les, that's a good question. First off, thanks for having me. Yeah, there's a lot of road time. I'm based out of Moose Jaw.
Yes.
Our office is in Calgary, so a normal month for me would be 10 days at home in Moose Jaw, 10 days in the office, and 10 days on the road.
Okay, so 10 days on the road, you would be among the WHL supervisors. There's always a supervisor at every game, is there not?
Well, we no longer call them supervisors.
Right.
That's their title. We call them coaches because they're there to work with the officials. And what we attempt to do is have a coach in person at 50% of our games. In addition to that, we watch a lot of videos. So a night at home for me, I probably have the screen going, the split screen with four games on, and I might see parts of four games. Tommy Cowell, our officiating coach, he probably sees two or three games in addition to what he's in person at every night as well. So we probably have eyes on the majority of games, but in person 50%.
So how big is the Western Hockey League's officiating staff?
It's a large staff. We started this season with about 45 referees, 90 linesmen, obviously spread out throughout the entire league. And they don't all work the same number of games. Some of them are based in more of a, you know, of our isolated areas, and they don't travel that much. They all have jobs, or the majority of them have jobs or careers outside of hockey. So we might have that many officials, but of those all, we have a handful that'll do 10 or 12 a month. Some that are middle of the road will do five or six, and then some that are just sort of like entry level or based on their location might do two or three per month.
All right, so now you get to the situation where you've got 45 referees. They all work at different levels. They all have their good nights. They have their bad nights. Everybody knows about the bad nights because the fans will let you know about the bad nights. But you guys, as coaches, are also assessing as well, and that's a season-long process, being able to make sure that the guys are being assessed and are being coached up as best as they can. But eventually you have to figure out, come playoff time, that there's not everybody can work.
Absolutely. I think it's always important to compare the officiating team to any of the other teams in the Western Hockey League. And all those teams have first-liners, they have second-liners, third-line, fourth-liners. And we have the same thing. We have entry-level guys, we have veterans or 20-year-olds that we expect to be our front-end guys. And when we're in the buildings, it's all about coaching. If players don't get coaching, they don't improve. If officials don't get coaching, they don't improve. But we certainly have to reduce our roster as we move on. And once we go into the playoffs, only about half of the officials will be working in the playoffs.
You mentioned 45 referees, 90 linesmen, gets cut in half come playoff time. Kelowna's hosting a Memorial Cup this year. How many Western Hockey League officials will be chosen to work at the Memorial Cup in Kelowna?
What we always do is we work with the other leagues, Ontario and Quebec. Recently we started where every league is going to be sending referees and linesmen. What we'll do is we'll have one linesman from both leagues. We'll have one referee from both leagues. The Western Hockey League will have then two referees and the other two or three linesmen as well.
What set of rules are used? Because there's three leagues and they have some different nuances in each of their leagues.
Sure. You know, as much as we try to follow the NHL rules, the Western League, Ontario, Quebec, we all have little different things within our own league. So what we do prior to the Memorial Cup, we have meetings amongst our off-ice crew, our hockey operations people. We talk about the rules. We put together a rule package, which rules will be used, won't be used specifically to each league, and then that's the package that's given to the teams that are participating.
All right. Video review. We see it here. It's used for goals for the most part. Do we see a day where this league has the capability, the video capability, to do things like offsides and offside reviews as they do in the National Hockey League?
Les, I think it's important that we always look for ways to improve. And if we have access to video, we always want to get calls, right? I don't think we want to over-officiate by using video. But when it comes to scoring of goals, that's what the game is all about. I think we have to constantly look at ways to improve. And if offsides are a thing to look at, if goaltender interference is a thing to look at, or the NHL rule with coaches challenge, if that's something to look at, I think it's important that as a league we continue to discuss those different things that can be on video. And the team or the leagues that already use it, what can we learn from them to be real efficient if we do implement it in the Western Hockey League?
Kevin, thank you so much for the time. Good to see you. Wish you all the best, and I'm sure our paths will cross as this season.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
Hey, that's the show. Want to say a big thanks to Les in Saskatoon as well as Andrew Peard in Edmonton for their help. Thanks, guys. I'm John Keith.
This has been a presentation of the Western Hockey League in cooperation with the WHL broadcast partners and Bauer Hockey.